Hi, Donna. Welcome to Global Conversations. And how are you?
Good, thank you. And thank you so much for having me on your podcast today.
So tell me about how did you start as an alternative healer, like about the energy and a mind whisperer?
Yes.
How did your journey begin? I'm sure there is some story behind it.
There is. I was actually a financial advisor and a managing principal of an investment firm, and I was responsible for $500 million of other people's money. So what happened during that time, the amount of stress and pressure that all of that entailed broke down my health, and the medical community could not figure out what was wrong with me. So then I turned to natural healing after 2 years and discovered that I wasn't able to digest food. And then from there, she said, "There, because you're not digesting food on the inside, there's something in your outside world you're not able to digest either." As I started regaining my health and was getting better, what I learned I couldn't digest in the outside world was all of the anger I was processing. And that was when the infidelity that was hidden to me in my marriage surfaced. So I left the marriage. And that was when I knew there was a mind-body connection between how we feel to how the body responds and what gets created in life. So then I moved to an ashram for a year because that's what it had in common was me, was two things, to uncover what those connections were, study meditation, brainwave patterns, physics and science, and you name it, I've studied it. And then when I left, a year later, I was unemployable in the financial services world because it was during the global recession and nobody was hiring. So then I dedicated my life to this healing path, and here I am 12, 15 years later with an international healing practice.
Right. Oh, but you know, you haven't really left your financial roots because I can see the book of Financially Fit.
Yes.
It's like on Amazon and in a bestseller. So how did that come about? And what is the advice that you're giving through your book to the people?
Yes. So Financially Fit is a bridge between the energy of money and then the energy of who we are as people. And I started seeing patterns working with my clients internationally. It didn't matter what country that they were in. When you got to the heart of the issue, clients were saying things like, "I just want to know that I'm worthy and that I was enough and that I was valued." And those are the same words we used in the investment world. Here's your net worth, your portfolio value is, your assets appreciated. Oh, and do you have enough money for XYZ goal? And if you didn't feel like you were enough on the inside, chances are you didn't have enough money on the outside. So that sparked me writing Financially Fit because the words that we were using were the same words with the same energy and the same frequency. And anytime I worked with a client and those patterns shift and changed, regardless of the topic we were working on, their financial supply, their money supply also improved. So there was a direct correlation between money being energy, us being a form of energy, and the frequencies that we shared with it. And that's a part of what Financially Fit is about.
So Donna, like as you said, that all of us have this energy frequency. So when we are working in an office environment, or maybe like with people, you know, who are not compatible to our field of energy, so does that affect our growth personally?
It can, yes, because you are absorbing the energy in the outside world and bringing it in, and then your energy goes from the inside out to the energy world and to your environment. So if you're in an office and you're walking down the hallway and you are going to the office meeting, you know long before you get there if it's going to be a really good, happy meeting or if it's not going to be a good meeting because not everyone made their sales numbers. You can feel that energy. So your environment and the people that you're with are hugely important to your growth, to who you are on a soul level, because they are going to magnify either the best of you or the worst of you. And you are going to be doing that for them as well.
Right. That is so true. So when I was in school, that was the first time, you know, I had seen one of my friends do Reiki on another friend of mine who was having a headache. So it was like, you know, passing your energy to the other person and kind of a healing the other person's energy or the aura, you can say. So does the energy flow work that way? Like, what did you learn in the ashram? Like, what were the things? If you can just tell us in short.
Mm-hmm. A lot of what I learned at the ashram was how to focus your own energy to direct it. And that we were directing it in terms of going internal for meditation. I've learned other things from other natural healers as well, how to take that energy, direct it towards others. Like in the case of Reiki, I'm also a Reiki master and I studied other healing modalities as well. But for the most part with the ashram, it was a lot of studying and understanding how the energy works in connotation to yourself.
Right. So as per you, like you said, you had eating disorder. The food was not palpable, or maybe it wasn't getting into your body or giving you the kind of energy. So is food directly related to how we feel, the kind of food we are consuming today with a lot of chemicals and pesticides? And should we use that, or we should turn into organic farming or organic products? I mean, does it have a correlation?
Yes, that is a great question. What it's more correlated to, yes, all of those things are true, but how you feel while you are eating. So for me, when every time I was eating, I was consuming the energy of anger because I was in an angry state. I had just had a second child. I was going to the gym 5, 6, 7 days a week. I had a personal trainer. I kept a food log, counted my calories, ate perfect. A year later, nothing changed. So I changed gyms, trainers, and diets. 6 more months, nothing changed. What was changing was I couldn't digest food. My stomach always hurt if I ate or if I didn't eat, and it didn't matter what it was. When I uncovered why I couldn't digest food, why I was digesting anger, and that my marriage ended, he left the house. And within a couple of weeks, I was happy. I was eating whatever I wanted. And if I made brownies for dinner, I ate the whole pan. And I was happy doing that because I just didn't care anymore. I just wanted to be happy. And in 3 months, 40 pounds came off of my body. I did not eat perfect like I had been the year and a half before. What changed was my entire emotional state and the environment and the situation. I no longer had the excess weight on me, thinking that I needed to protect myself or be in this angry state. So I lost 40 pounds of anger, literally. I remember the day I walked into the office and my assistant said to me, "Donna, you got to buy new clothes." And I went, "What do you mean?" And she goes, "Turn around, look behind you." And I shrunk 4 sizes in clothes and didn't even know it in those 3 months.
So that means stress and food and the environment, everything is correlated the way our body works.
Yes. Because you can eat salad every single day, but if you don't like eating salad, not going to work for you. You're not going to lose the excess weight or anything because you're not in the right mindset or feeling set in your mind to allow the excess weight to release.
Right. So I wanted to ask a question, like, can you be happy all the time, or do you need to have or experience all the emotions to go on a higher level of spiritual level?
Well, there's 2 parts to your answer, or the answer for your question. There's 5 main emotions, and all feelings stem from these emotions. The 5 emotions are fear, anger, sadness, happiness, and love. The lower 3 emotions and all the feelings that get associated, fear, anger, and sadness, are all designed to awaken you to love, or to express the love out, or to recognize the love in the moment. Happiness is the doorway that opens it up to love, for you to give and receive love. And that's the pathway. Can you be happy all the time? I believe that is possible. First, we have to go through all of those other emotions to learn what it's teaching us, which is usually some version of happiness, joy, or gratitude, or peace, to get to that love. And then when we recognize we can have that higher state of emotions and feelings, then those lower ones just simply aren't needed. The only time we have those lower emotions is when it's teaching us something, and we have to look to see what it's teaching us. I had an employer once ask, "Are you happy? Are you happy? Are you happy?" Not how are you, but are you happy? And it got to the point that every time I saw the person, that was my immediate thought. Am I happy? And I would sit there and I would ponder, well, I was happy yesterday, but not so much today. Or, gosh, I'm about 76% happy. Well, why can't I be 100% happy? I mean, I had all kinds of measurements for happiness. So I started realizing that when I wasn't happy, I started analyzing why I wasn't happy. And then that started creating more unhappiness for me. So then I started keeping a happiness journal, and I started writing down the times I was happy. And when that happened, my focus changed to happiness. So can you have happiness 100% of the time? I believe so. And anytime that a different emotion comes through, then it's time to take a look at it to see what it's really trying to teach you or get you to do for the soul's evolution and growth. We are meant to experience all the emotions. There has to be a balance, but if you're like 90, 95% happy, you're doing a pretty good job.
Yes, that is true. So what I wanted to know is, how do you manifest wealth? What, according to you, according to the book that you've written, how can you do that?
Part of it is understanding how you feel about money. And a lot of that got programmed into you when you were little from your parents and how they interacted with money. So oftentimes we ask for something like, I want to have more abundance. I want to have more prosperity. But our feeling is, oh, it's less than, I'm experiencing lack. We didn't have a whole lot growing up. And that energy is that feel, those feelings are the fuel that drives the thought. Well, we don't have a whole lot. I didn't have a whole lot. I was near poverty is not going to bring you abundance and prosperity. So you have to align those inner feelings with what you are asking for. And so, and that's why I get called a mind whisperer, because I teach the techniques and do this individually with clients and in groups, how to go in and shift and change the not enough, lack, energy into the abundance and the prosperity that got associated with an event when you were younger. And then that will create an automatic new pattern to bring abundance and prosperity to you. And then there's a couple of chapters in the book as well dedicated to the manifestation and creation cycle, how that works, the pain pleasure cycle, and how we truly create to bring our formless thoughts, things that we want to do, into form and into action in the world.
So this is basically like healing the inner child. I have read a lot about it. Like, you've got to heal your inner child first, like remove the traumas that you've been through in your childhood, and then only you can like progress and become an abundant individual. I've read it a lot.
Mm-hmm. So is that- a lot of it, yes. You can call it the inner child. Because a lot of our learning and our programming took place up until about the age of 7 or 8. And what happens there is they're in a theta brainwave. So you are absorbing energetically all of your teachings and learnings more so than when you're older. And it's during that time you're most impressionable. And that's where most of our events in the subconscious got encoded with the emotions and feelings that started an automated response system that we repeated patterns in life. So from, you know, from about 0 to about age 9, and then after that, you have the next set of automated response system, 9 to about 18, and then 18 to 27. And there's these groups of ages. So when you're going back to take a look at where a feeling got associated to an event, you want to go back to the earliest possible memory, because that's when it originated, and that's the point that it needs to change.
Right. That is interesting. So before we, on a parting note, before we go, what is the message that you would like to give to our viewers and about your book and about the time that we are going through, like it's the pandemic and there is too much of loss and stress and grief. So how can we heal ourselves during this time? What is your message?
Yes. And I have this in the book as well, in Financially Fit. But during the time that I went through my health, my marriage ending, and being financially devastated, that all happened within a 4 to 5 year time period. And it was right in the middle of that, I wrote my own mantra that came through me when I was writing one day. And I share this willingly. And it is, trust and you will see, believe and you will know, have faith, all is well. Follow your heart and spirit will lead you. So whether you're going through your own hard times, whether it's the pandemic, trust, faith, and belief are the three keys that open up all of those prosperity doors. And prosperity is more than just money. It's all things in life. So trust, faith, and belief.
Trust, faith, and belief. I've also seen on your website, you're giving away little hearts. I mean, what are those, like gemstones? Or what is it like? Yep.
They are little crystal hearts. It's an adventuring heart. And what I do is I program them to a frequency of 528, which is the miracle healing DNA tone, the divine perfect love. I put in health, wealth, and happiness for health, wealth, and relationships for happiness, prosperity, and love. There we go. And then anything else that needs to go in there for the person. And I put those frequencies inside the stone, just as I would working with a person. And then if there was any additional virtues, sometimes people want clarity or focus or kindness or balance, I'll put those frequencies in as well. And then as soon as it gets to the person, when you touch it, it activates for you. And because it's a touchstone and it's tied to you and your energy, what then happens is you absorb those frequencies into you because it's part of your environment. And then it will read any energy that you need. So if you needed more prosperity or if you needed more happiness that day and you're using it, it's going to send out and help bring to you the qualities that you are needing. I use it a lot in meditation as a touchstone and hold on to it because it, the more you use it, the more powerful it becomes. And anytime you have stress or worry or depression, all you have to do is pick it up and touch it and instantly you will start feeling better. So those are just a gift that I share with people who come to the courses, who some of them do sessions, or if I'm doing a larger speaking presentation that's live, we'll do a little exercise and we'll program them together.
Okay, that is interesting. So thank you so much, Donna, for being with us. My evening and your morning time from your hectic schedule. And it was really lovely talking to you. Have a wonderful day.
And thank you for having me on.
Thank you.